What's your favorite song? Does it make you smile? Do you think of me? When you close your eyes, tell me, what are you dreaming? Everything I want to know it all. I'd spend 10,000 hours and 10,000 more. Oh, if that's what it takes to learn that sweetheart of yours. And I might never get there, but I'm gonna try.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm Amy Cabo, joined by Boris.
And that will be me.
My other half. Our show is available live on your radio through our app called The Cure, or live on our website, amyspurpose.com. We are broadcasting from Miami via satellite, and later all shows become podcasts. This show deals with the suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor of child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have professional speakers in the medical field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help and give valuable information, because awareness is vital, transparency is needed, and I do believe we all suffer or have suffered from something. As for me, my healing came from God, hence The Cure. But other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know there's always someone who cares. That was 10,000 Hours by Justin Bieber. When I hear a great song, it does make me smile. What if God is asking, do you think of me? He wants to hear from us, confess it all. He likes to see us smile and hopes we fulfill our dreams. So more than 10,000 times more, he loves us for the rest of our lives. We can't possibly grasp how much he loves us. After all, we've never been God. We do know he loves us equally, making each one of us his highest priority. And we can only equate love to what we understand humanly possible. But because Christ made us in his image, we are capable of loving in the same way. There is a faith that grows when it comes to his divine plan. That is something that can only be born through suffering. Think about it. Had Jesus not died and gone through what he went through, would it have left? Had he had not suffered so much for us, would it have left in us the same impression? Would we have so many lessons to learn? So today, show, I want to talk about suffering and discuss how it plays a part on the divine plan. And our special guest is Herb Cohen, who is a psychotherapist specializing in treating trauma and addiction. Herb is also board certified and licensed creative art therapist. He applies various techniques in his practice, including hypnosis and EMDR. Herb, thank you for being with us, and welcome to the Cure Radio Show.
Yes, and thank you for having me. I'm very grateful for this opportunity.
Herb, it's wonderful that you have such a great perspective on atrocities. Not all of us share the same ideas, so maybe you can bring some light to the matter And at the present moment, you're writing a book called The Divinity of Atrocity. Can you explain to us what does that mean? Could we possibly suffer for a reason?
Yes. So let's take a very simple metaphor. When we bite into some food that may have gone bad, we immediately know because this rancid taste just reverberates in our mouth. And instantly, we're aware that if we continue to eat that food, we're going to get very sick. So the bad taste, it's not pleasurable to taste that taste, but it's protecting us. It's lovingly protecting us from getting sick. So we can honor that taste, right? That rancid, bad taste from protecting us, for protecting us. And so let's now look at the experience of trauma. So as a soul, we take a human form and we get to choose our parents and the life we're going to manifest as per our divine plan, according to the lessons that we are agreeing to learn, okay? Not all of us, as in our ego state, as who we were, would agree to do this, okay? But in higher consciousness of afterlife, where we're more in a God-realized state, we realize, yes, I want to do this. I want to evolve. I want to know who I am as a soul, and I want to know who I am as God realized, because that's what our soul is. So in its all original realized form that we can realize in this lifetime. So to get to know who we are as a soul, we have to manifest what we need to learn. Now, when we manifest those things, or in the form of our life that we're living. So if I have been born into a parent that doesn't show love to me or treats me harshly, and I feel experience that as trauma. This doesn't exist. This is a rancid taste. That rancid taste warns of rotten food, okay? So I, of course, want to avoid rancid taste. All of us want to avoid the bad feelings of trauma. We don't want to move in the direction of trauma. We want to move away from those feelings because that's what rancid teaches us. However, what I've learned is that there's a deeper reason for rancid because it points to the source of our lust. So what happens is, as a child, we typically don't have that insight, and we grow up and we don't learn the lesson. So typically, my clients come in, just like you, Amy, has had a life where your trauma's repeated in different forms.
Right.
But it's the same idea over and over again, and you're wondering, why is this happening to me? And that's exactly what my clients sit before me and say, why am I so unlucky? Why do I have this dark cloud that followed me everywhere I went? And for a long time, I was challenged by that question. But that's my purpose of being here, is to figure out the answer to that. And that's why I'm on this show. Okay.
And that's a great question. And I wonder if that has something to do between a connection between a divine purpose and suffering.
Well, all of us have lessons to learn. Some of us have a harsher plan of learning those lessons than others. But you know what? Let's take this example a little further. So what happens is, if we don't learn our lesson as a child, we re-manifest them. Sometimes they're more intensified so that we'll be forced to look at those lessons and ask that question.
Well, let's see what Robbie has to say. We have a caller, Robbie, that's calling right now.
Okay.
And
hey, Amy.
Hi, Robbie. Welcome to The Cure. I thank you for listening. Is there something?
Oh, what a wonderful show. It's always so great to hear the different insights that you guys bring into the show. And your guest today clearly, you know, has a wonderful curiosity to what God is up to. And so I'm actually just sitting here anxious to hear, you know, kind of where he's going from to get to the connection you asked him. Where, you know, where is the divine connection?
I wanted to know what was the connection between that a divine purpose and suffering, which is something I really want to dive into right after this break. If you could guys just stay with me a second, because this is something that if we can look and view at suffering in a different way, then it's not something that's gonna get in the way. It's not something that's gonna bother us. It's something that we can learn from and move on and continue. So this brings a lot of hope.
Yeah, and yeah. Amy, the Paul in Colossians said that he rejoiced in his sufferings for your sake and for the sake of the church, that he would fill up the sufferings of Christ, what was lacking in the sufferings of Christ. And so there's some beautiful stuff in there.
Exactly, and only God knows why, really. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We will continue talking about the divine plan when it comes to suffering. Please stay with us.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for tuning in. For those who have just joined us, I'm Amy Cabo and this is The Cure. We're discussing finding purpose in pain. We're live on your radio and on social media. Just look for Amy's Purpose.
The show later will be available as a podcast. And just look for The Cure on any podcast app. Or on our app, The Cure. This is because I need to talk too. So, back to Amy.
There's also a survey you can fill out on amyspurpose.com. We'd really love your feedback.
Oh.
That was Lose You to Love Me by Selena Gomez. Sometimes you have to lose to gain. To hate, then to discover love. Speak up to close a chapter. Nothing happens by chance, and I don't believe in circumstances. Just like Pastor Paula writes in her latest memoir, Something Greater, and I quote, "The landscape of life will change, but it doesn't mean that God is finished with us. In fact, new beginnings with greater beauty and light can spring forth our darkness, from our darkness, if we allow them to." We are talking to Herb Cohen when it comes to suffering. Is it part of a divine plan? So we have Herb and Robbie on the air right now. So Herb, you were explaining that suffering and pain in some ways can be beneficial.
Yeah, so let's just look at this example of this. I was using an example of a child who may have felt unloved by his mom, let's say, and felt neglected and just felt pain as an example. And so learn that I am unlovable and I'm not deserving of love, grows up and attracts people in their life who treat them the same way, and that person then attributes it to being, well, I don't deserve love. I don't deserve to be treated well. That's why I must be attracting people who treat me harshly. It's not that the person wants to be treated harshly. It's what's learned. But what happens is there's that rancid taste all over again. And so here's an opportunity for us to say, well, wait a minute now. If I move away from that person and I separate from them, the rancid taste goes away. But what we need to do is explore that, to be curious and to say, why am I suffering or attracting that suffering? And what is that rancid taste? And if I go deep into that rancid taste, as like if I can go deep with someone who can take me safely into that, like a therapist, for example, that's what I do in my practice, is I provide a safe place for people to explore this. And so we might look at their present situation, but go deeper than that and see if we go deeper and go further back in time, all the way to the source of this idea, we find ourselves back with mom, and in this case, I'm using this example, and we find that there's this idea of I'm not lovable, where exactly where we learned it. So this becomes the source. This is the rot. We're finding the source of the rancid taste. And now what we do is, what I do is I apply EMDR, where we can release the negativity. So we desensitize that, take the rancid taste away, and then get to look at it with our full adult mind. And we see that, wait a minute, I was just a little kid. I didn't do anything to not deserve love. This wasn't about me. This was about my mom not knowing how to express that love to me. So I can now realize a truth. And the truth is that I am lovable and deserving of love. And I can release the lie, which is the rot. Guess what happens? The rancid taste goes away. And I'm closer to knowing who I am as a soul. Every time we realize a truth that is masked by those rancid experiences, we become closer to knowing who we are as a soul. That soul realization is realizing who we are as eternal, as our in our divine form. And thus, the purpose of these traumatic life experiences are actually showing us the direction to go in order to self-realize. This is the work we need to do. This is where we need to do the work. We follow the flavor. We follow that rancid taste as it's ultimately there to help us self-realize. So we can't possibly understand or know what light is without darkness. It's impossible to know what light is. We would have no clue what light is if not for the contrast to darkness. And here the darkness is not evil. It's not really dark. It's really there to protect us. It's there to say, this is the way. Because if you follow this rancid taste and go deep and find the source, you'll unmask a mistruth. So here's a truth that I've learned, that the truth always feels good, and the mistruths always feel bad. So we can unmask those lies and release them. And when we release them, the rancid taste and the suffering lift, because we lift to a higher frequency. We lift into love, which is a higher frequency. And that feels good. And then we realize, well, that must be true. And what's true, we know it's true. We can test it out. Because we realize it has always been true. We know that it's always been true because it's a remembrance.
because our soul is eternal. Our soul is very, very old. It's ancient.
Nice.
And so we're remembering that love is always. We are love, and we are always love.
And isn't it amazing
so
when we realize we're loved?
To be loved, which is our ego state. This is now us realizing us on a soul level. It's deeper.
I mean, I see what you mean, because for me, I think that what most people need, is the most basic need everyone has, is a need to be loved. And the problem with somebody that's suffering or has suffered is that they find it hard to not only love themselves, but to believe that even God loves them. And it's this amazing transformation that happens when you realize that God loves you, and not only does God love you, but you're precious to Him. And it really changes your whole world. And you make a perfect point, is if you're ever confused, if you don't know what's a lie from the enemy or inspiration from a friend, just if it doesn't feel right, because we do have the Holy Spirit for wisdom. And if it's hurting someone else, or if it hurts you to think about it or to say it in that way, then we know that that's not really truly us. It's not who we are. You're right. I mean, even Christ said you should have pure thoughts and say good things and be courageous and of good cheer. Those are all good things. I'd rather be on the happy team. I don't know about you. Sure, we definitely will. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We'll be right back after a short break. Talking about.
We'll be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure. Continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Amy Cabo with Boris, and this is The Cure. Listen to us live on your radio every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. We also have an app, The Cure, and our website is amyspurpose.com, where you can fill out a survey.
Yes, it's under The Cure Radio. Just look for the survey, and please tell us what you think about the show. Also, the show, The Cure, is going to be available as a podcast in any app that has podcasts.
In a couple of days. That song that we just heard is The Hype by 21 Pilots. It comes to show that all we survive makes us stronger. And the closer we stay to God, the greater peace of mind we will have, knowing that His kind will be on our side. No matter how terrible the sight, it's only hype. With God, you'll be just fine. We'll be just fine, actually. We're live with Herb, and we still have Robbie, right?
Yeah, we do. Can I ask a question?
Sure,
go ahead. It's kind of very, maybe to me, weird. If suffering is so good, how is God even allowing it? Because there is a lot of people that actually have suffered a long time. And how come God allows all this suffering? Like, for example, there is a lot of very bad things happening. Like the Nazis in Auschwitz, for example. Or a lot of people have suffered a lot. Like Robbie, for example, one of our listeners, and has passed through a lot of things. How come God allows that?
But go ahead, Robbie.
Or Herb.
Okay. So
or Herb, or whoever wants to answer.
Yeah. Herb.
Yeah, I'd like to answer. So rancid is rancid, right? It has to taste bad in order for us to not eat the rotten food. If rancid tasted good and was pleasant,
we'd get sick all the time.
Sick.
Yeah.
Right. So the nature of rancid is rancid has to be bad taste, okay? So let me give an example of atrocity, though, okay? Let's take the worst possible traumas. So I do, as a hypnotherapist, I do past life regression therapy, and I've done this on myself because I was prompted to in learning about who I was as a soul. I used it as a path to self-realize, okay, by going and learning my soul, the memories my soul wanted to share with me. So one of those memories was being a survivor of Hiroshima. You know, when they dropped the bomb?
Right.
That was an atrocity.
Yes.
And when I stepped right into the body of this person, this past life, I felt immediately my body being ripped to pieces inside. Now, I was a survivor. I didn't get hurt. I lived a long time, actually. But that was even worse because I was ripped apart inside. Everything, every person I knew, every loved person attached to me, friend, every place I worked, everything that had to do with me was ripped from me instantly and destroyed. And all the people who survived around me were all broken or dying or will be. And I had this immense, immense, intolerable pain inside me that was bigger than 40 years of trauma experience doing trauma therapy. It was like all of my traumas, clients, trauma stories, rolled into one giant, awful nightmare. And it was too big to contain within my body and my brain even. It was so enormous. And I stayed with it, and I was shaking, and I was barely able to tolerate it, but I stayed with this person's life through his entire lifetime, and he went into being despondent, to being numb, to feeling guilty for being alive, and he just wanted to die. That's all he wanted. And he renounced God. He said, how could a God do this? There can't be any possibility of a God. And he renounced God. And I renounced God as this individual. And what happened was I followed him into afterlife because there was no lesson. I'm waiting for the lesson. There's usually a lesson. I didn't get any lesson. So I was like, okay, I'm going to follow you through crossing over. And I followed him into afterlife. We went into this pod where I was exhausted from this life, and I was being pumped in with energy, and I was feeling some healing. And after a while, I felt a bit better. And they got me up, and they brought me into this room for a life review. Everyone goes for this life review. And it's not a judgment. There's no judgment. There's no karmic scorecard where we go, ah, we gotcha. Now you're going to look at this and suffer. No, there's no judgment. There's just an opportunity to learn. We may have a life review where we see where we've said something hurtful to someone, but we experience through that other person's lens, so that we can then say, ah, look at what I've done. And they say, yeah, see, you've done something wrong, but now you're learning. And that's what we want. We want you to learn and evolve. We just want people to evolve. There's no karmic scorecard or judgment. Judgment is an ego function that we do down here. That up in afterlife, it's higher frequency. There's no judgment, okay? There's just this wonderful compassion for us and opportunities to keep learning and evolving. Well, they bring me into this room for this life review, and I say, what, are you kidding? You want me to review that life? How dare you? How dare you ask me to do such a thing? What are you going to say, that I didn't appreciate life, so that happened? I mean, come on, really? And I became so irate and agitated that they had to take me out of this room. These other spirit beings had to escort me out. I was just livid that they would even suggest such a thing, and I was taken out and brought to another room where more healing was done. And this, it felt like there was this pipe that was piping this energy in, and I started to feel all my anger disappear. And I started to get information, and I started to lift in frequency. And I got curious. I started like to look, where's this pipe going to? And I couldn't really see the end of it. But I started to become realized with one with God. Like I started to know what God was by experiencing this energy. This energy was informing me of what God was. And then I started to understand what happened. So man dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. Man,
I didn't even know that was possible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well,
so man dropped the bomb and made the bomb.
Amy, could I speak now?
Sure, sure. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robbie. You were saying something?
Yeah, when Herb started this back some time ago, he mentioned that truth is relative to his own understanding.
Okay.
And if man decides what truth is, then all of a sudden you open up the world to all sorts of stuff. When I was involved in Scientology myself, I looked into those things, and I ended up very much where Herb was, where I believed in all those things, pretty much what Herb just described.
Okay.
But my challenge was, when I read the Bible, which is the truth, you know, Jesus is the truth, and the Bible is the truth, and when I read the truth, you get into the book of Job, where there's real suffering.
I know that.
And
I know
when
that
you look
one.
At this, God took away Job's kids. God took away Job's livelihood. He did everything, covered him in sores, and so there was all this suffering. And with all that suffering came all those questions that Job had. And so as I got into that book, actually, I was just where Herb was. Like, what in the world are you doing, God? And I was just probably about as angry as Herb was when he was describing
but
what
God
he was doing in that room. And
yeah.
So let
me continue.
God actually doesn't answer any questions in the book of Job. He asks questions. He asks questions like, Herb, since you feel like you know so much, why don't you make it snow? Or maybe you can bring in the tide since you're so intelligent. And, you know, when you started asking me those questions, I came to the conclusion very quickly that, wow, I needed God, and I needed to understand God. And the Bible gets pretty clear that there is a judgment. And it's pretty clear that he's got a really high standard. If you don't meet it, you don't get to spend eternity with Jesus. And so there is a real truth.
Wow.
And the beautiful thing about Hebrew is it will tell you at the end, we all know the truth.
And
the truth is if we don't get to spend the eternity with God, you know, we're really going to be missing out. And Herb, I would challenge you to read the Bible with new eyes. Because there's the truth, and it's not something that
I just want to finish my story.
And he sounds like a really just God, and we'll have the opportunity to do that when we come back. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back, guys, and thanks for being with us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. You can listen to The Cure Live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio or the app The Cure on social media as well.
Or the website, amyspurpose.com. And also, the show is going to be available as a podcast later on any place that podcasts are playing. Just look for The Cure with Amy Cabo.
That was the awesome song, Look at Her Now, by Selena Gomez. Wonderful singer. Yes, sometimes we're sad and even suffer for years only to realize we dodged a bullet. Did we learn and grow from the experience as we return even better? I can imagine God can also be cheering us on, saying, look at her now. As he directs us, he says, watch her go. Especially those times when it's most difficult, it helps to hear those words. We are talking about suffering. Is it necessary? And we are joined by Herb Cohen and Robbie and Boris. So, I have two things. Herb, you were finishing a story, and Robbie had a question.
So maybe, Herb, can you finish the story?
We want to know the morale.
I would love to finish the story. Because it can't make a point unless I finish.
Right.
So what God provided me information was that man chose to drop this horrible bomb. The bomb has the potential to annihilate the planet, and it would be no Earth if man continued to drop these bombs. So what God had to do was make the rancid taste of Hiroshima and Nagasaki the worst, most atrocious experience possible so that man would never drop this bomb again and thus save the planet. In
wow.
doing so, in knowing this, God asked for volunteers to come down to Earth as souls and experience the atrocity, to die in the experience, and to some suffer in surviving it, in order to show the world what an atrocity these man-made weapons were, and how they could never, ever, ever be used again. So the bad taste had to be severe and harsh as possible. And only God could do that. And he did. And I was the soul that volunteered to survive. And I was rewarded in afterlife with God realization.
So basically your idea is there is a suffering that is brought to us so we can realize that things are bad and then we don't repeat them.
Well, some people become sour from suffering. Suffering can go one or two ways. My question is then, Herb, you believe that we have many lives or different lives? I do believe in a memory at this cell level.
Yes.
You know, from generations, but not so much several lives. I think one life is good enough, isn't it?
No, I think this is my 68th life.
Wow.
Human lives. I have 68 human lives, and I am not coming back after this one.
And how do you know this is the last one?
Information. This is my last one.
Who told you?
God told me.
Wow, you talked to God?
Yes, I channel God.
Channel.
How do you channel God? I mean, I get thoughts that I can come from him.
And I bring God in. That's what came out of my self-realization, was a connection to God.
Is it more than just getting a thought in your mind that you believe comes from him?
Yes, it's not a thought. So it's a knowing. So this is kind of information is what we know as truth. Truths are known. Truths are not thought. Truths are known. They're known in your body because they're memories. They're remembering. We're remembering who we are as a soul. Remember, our souls have lived, are very ancient. Now, if my soul is eternal, it's eternal for a reason. It's so that I can take many, many human incarnations. And that's what I remember. And as I remember truth, they're knowings that are in my body deep. They're not in my head as thought. They are knowing that I've always known. I've always known this to be true because it's memory. I'm remembering who I am as a soul. I'm remembering that I am one with God.
So, Robbie, what do you think? Because, you know, Ev mentions realizing truths and that it can be different from facts. What's your truth, Robbie?
I mean, here we have a book that has been verified as the Bible, which God wrote for our benefit to give us the truth.
Nice.
And it is the truth. And if we accept it as the truth, then we accept Jesus as his son, and we accept forgiveness so that we don't have to face the judgment. If we take on truth as something that we can discern ourselves, then we're not going to feel good about a judgment. And that's clear from her discussion that he doesn't want judgment. Of course he doesn't. And I'm sure you also noticed that he also leaves evil out of the equation. And so there's no pickpocket. And his life view is very two-dimensional. He sees himself and he sees God, but you don't see the third person that really, you know, is the pickpocket, which is Satan, which is evil in the world. That truly God did allow that, which is part of the story of Job. And so, again, the trap, that I fell into the trap that Herb's in. I know what it's like because I've been there in the Church of Scientology. I know what that felt like. But also, I think deep down, he does know there's a truth, and he can find it at whatever point he wants to read the Bible. And when he does that, he's going to realize that, wow, I've got a real problem, that if I don't accept Christ as my Savior, it doesn't matter how many lives he thinks he has left. He's only got one coming, and that judgment's going to be really difficult for him. So I'm praying for him, in fact, during almost the whole show, that God would open his eyes up to the real truth.
I'm going to pray too. Because, I mean, how can there be a Bible that's been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years and a belief in the truth and a truth that everyone comes together and believes also? I mean, and it inspires people to be good to each other, to love each other, to come together, to be understanding. And when they've been hurt, they learn what not to do. And, I mean, life can sometimes be an adventure, but I think deep down inside, you're right, Robbie. We know the truth, but I take a humble stance. I don't think I have several lives. I really don't think I'm that special. I just think life is a great ride. I'm grateful for it, and I'm going to make the best out of it.
Yeah, God is good, and he loves us. And he loves her, and he wants her to know the truth. He really, really does. And I want her to know it, too, because I know what it was like to be where he is. And it's a scary thing.
Well, but isn't it? Can it be taught like an idea to help people that suffer? Like this way, they realize what the suffering is about, and they get better.
Well, there's a philosophy that says if for something to exist, the opposite must exist, for there to be a balance.
Right.
There is to some extent, but light always overcomes darkness. You know, so, you know, light isn't the opposite of darkness. Light is strong. When you open up the door, the light comes in where there's darkness.
Light is defined by darkness. You can't have light without darkness. You can't have form without emptiness, right? So everything is inherently empty, isn't it? Everything is non-manifested before
it can manifest. Actually, light... Light came before darkness, if you read, you know, the very first chapter of Genesis. And so, yeah, you can have light without darkness because God, you know, apparently did that. And then he separated light from darkness. But light is stronger than darkness.
We can't, as humans, we can't know light without the other side of the coin. You can't have a coin with heads only, right? And as humans, we can't experience light without having some idea of darkness. It's impossible to know what light would be then.
That makes sense.
That was the philosophy, yes.
Well, it seems to, but there's a little trick in there. And again,
what I'm saying about trauma is that no one wants to suffer, and we shouldn't have to suffer, right? We don't have to suffer. We don't want suffering. I'm not saying we need to suffer to know God. I'm not saying that. I'm saying
the issue was that man sinned at the beginning, which meant that there was a curse, and we're living out who we are. And since, you know, at some point, if you accept the idea that there was a curse, and that curse came as a result of us buying a lie that was brought on us by an evil being called Satan, then all of a sudden you could see that there's a reason for the suffering, and it has to do with sin.
Well, thank you, guys. We are almost finishing today.
Wow.
Only a few minutes.
This is the worst time to finish the show, but we just have a couple minutes, guys. I'm going to have to say thank you so much,
you.
Robbie and Irv, being with
thank
us.
You,
I, and I love, I love hearing all kinds of points of views. I mean, it's very interesting, though I choose to believe my truth. More information on Irv can be found on IrvCohen.com/1. Soon we will be able to find his book, The Divinity of Atrocity. And I don't know about you guys or Rob, but I found a lot of good in all that I suffered and all that I've experienced. So thank you also. I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay. And
no,
thank
I
you also.
Too.
Yeah. Nice. And thank you, Jasper, for being such a great audio producer. So let's pray. One little prayer, guys. If you're suffering now, Lord, do not waste one scintilla of this suffering. Make some good out of it for me. A chance in life direction. A deepening of faith and love. A protection from other adversity. For others, a zeal for your kingdom. A desire to help others. An empathy with those in need. And an eagerness to serve the kingdom, for the culture, and for the community. Lord, please optimize the good that can come from this suffering. Amen. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Till next week, much love.
Listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.